Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, the truth about the birth of Jesus.
Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and it matters. In this book, you can trust it. And when it tells you something, you may not be able to understand it all, but you can know this book is true. And I can base my life on this book. And Jesus Christ isn't just a good teacher. He is the God-man. He's not a good man. He's the God-man, and he is Savior, and he is Lord. And I can come to him, and he can make a difference because he has all power and all authority. And all of that is tied up in the one question: was Jesus Christ really born of a virgin?
The Christmas story. It's the account of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary, a virgin, and to her husband, Joseph. Jesus was born in a stable full of animals because there was no room in the local inn. You've heard this story for sure, but have you seriously considered the significance of its truth? Did it really happen the way the Bible describes? That's a great question that Pastor Jeff Shreve will answer today on From His Heart. The message is entitled, Was Jesus Really Born of a Virgin? And we'll learn key truth about the virgin birth of Christ and why it's so central to the salvation available to those who come to him in repentance and faith. Today, we'll catch you up on what you missed from last time and begin part two of this lesson. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we'll start in verse 26, answering this question: Was Jesus really born of a virgin?
The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is something that skeptics and cynics and unbelievers and those who question the story and question of Christmas and question the veracity of the Bible, they will come at the virgin birth and say, well, obviously that didn't happen. Obviously, that's just a story. It can't be true because it's impossible. Well, all miracles are impossible, humanly speaking. But things that are impossible to man are not impossible to God. And so people will attack the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and say, well, you know, was he really born of a virgin? We don't really know. It doesn't really matter. So two questions about the virgin birth. Number one, is it true? Yes. Number two, does it matter? Yes, it matters a ton. It is fundamental to our faith. So let me share with you three reasons why Jesus was born of a virgin and why it matters. Reason number one, the virgin birth matters because of the truth of Scripture. The truth and the veracity of Scripture. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ was conceived of a virgin and born of a virgin. That was Mary's question to Gabriel. How can this be since I'm a virgin? I mean, I've never had a relationship with a man, and so there, I can't be pregnant, right? Joseph, when he heard from Mary, because no doubt after the angel visited her and then she said in faith, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word, then she went to talk to Joseph, her betrothed, her fiancé, and she had to say, Joseph, I need to tell you something. You might want to sit down. Joseph, I'm pregnant. Joseph, but it's okay because I'm pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty big story to swallow, isn't it? If you're Joseph, you're thinking, right. He didn't believe it for a second, and so he was going to divorce her secretly so as not to cause her shame and public disgrace. And the scripture says this, he went to sleep And he had a dream, and he had an encounter with God. And the angel said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. This was in the 700s BC when this prophecy came out. Saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And the scripture says, Joseph took her and he married her and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to her first son, and they called his name Jesus. Now, that's what the scripture says. The scripture makes it very, very clear that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, conceived of a virgin and born of a virgin. Hey, you mark it down. The Bible is not a book of myths and stories to get you to believe a certain thing that is not true. The Bible is true. And when the Bible says something, you can believe it. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What's Peter saying? He said, hey, we didn't make this stuff up. I ought to know, Peter said, I was there. I spent 3 years of my life with Jesus. Peter said, I was an eyewitness to his glory and to his majesty. We didn't make this stuff up. Bible's not a made up book. The Bible is not the word of men. The Bible is the word of God. It's the word of God. The Bible says that all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired means God breathed. Now, here's the thing about the claims of Christ and the things in the Bible. It's not that they go against reason. They're just, you can't explain it with reason. It's beyond reason. It's not unreasonable. The Bible's not make-believe. The Bible is true, and it's rooted in historical fact. Was Jesus Christ really born of a virgin? Yes, the Bible says so. And if Jesus Christ wasn't born of a virgin, guess what? The Bible isn't trustworthy because the Bible says he is. It's obvious that the Bible says he was born of a virgin. So is that just a spring on the trampoline that you say, well, it doesn't really matter? It matters a ton when it comes to this book, because this book says that's how he came into this world, born of a virgin. Second reason why Jesus was born of a virgin and why it matters is because of the nature of Jesus Christ, his very nature. Now, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? In verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. The holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. How do you get a holy offspring? I mean, I have three daughters. Not a one of the three would I call a holy offspring, right? They're wonderful. But you know, here's the thing about little babies, and it's true for every little baby, and it was true for you when you're a little baby, and me for when I was a little baby. We're all little sinners. David said in Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, David's mother wasn't a tramp. David's mother didn't cheat on David's father, Jesse. When he said, in sin did my mother conceive me, it wasn't that, you know, my mom, she was going out at night and unbeknownst to Jesse, and then something happened, and boy, I was conceived in sin. He's not saying that. He's saying the whole process of human procreation, there is sin in the conception. You know why? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they gave birth to children who had Adam's nature, Adam's fallen nature. We call that original sin. And so every child that's born into this world is born through the seed of Adam. And the seed of Adam is tainted with sin. Jesus Christ was not born through the seed of Adam. He is not a son of Adam. And so he doesn't have the sin of Adam. His father is God. He has to have his father to be God in order for him to be the holy offspring, in order for him to be called the son of God. Now, when you have children, when I have children, they're the son of man. And Jesus is called both the son of God and the son of man. He's the son of God because his father is God. And he's the son of man because his mother was Mary. And so you put them together and this is what you get, the God-man. Jesus Christ was and is the God-man. And that is all tied into the fact that he was born of a virgin. If he wasn't born of a virgin, then he cannot be deity. He would just be like you and me. He would just be a man. And here's the reason why the skeptics and the cynics and the unbelievers want to attack the idea of the virgin birth. It's because they do not want Jesus to have a claim to deity. They don't want him to be God, because if Jesus is born of a virgin, then Jesus is different from you and me, then Jesus is different from everyone, then Jesus has to be divine. And if Jesus is divine, then I'm responsible to him. I have to give an account to him because he is God in the flesh. And they don't want to do that because they want to live however they want to live. Remember, Jesus said that men love the darkness rather than the light. He said, I'm the light of the world, but people don't come to me, because if they come, then their deeds are exposed and they'd rather be in the darkness and they'd rather not have to be accountable to him. And so where do they attack? They attack right at the beginning. Right at the first miracle, the cornerstone miracle of the Christian faith and of the Christmas story, is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And people like Rob Bell, who say that they are orthodox in their belief, they question the virgin birth and say it doesn't matter anyway. If Jesus' dad is Larry, who cares? It doesn't matter. It matters a ton, because then the Bible is not true and Jesus is not God. You know, Jesus would make claims of his deity, and he let people know that he was God. Some people say, well, you know, Jesus never claimed to be God. Baloney. He did claim to be God. He said, before Abraham was born, I am. He said, I and the Father are one. On two different occasions, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, and he said, why are you going to stone me? He said, for a good work we stone you not, but for you being a man, because you claim to be God. They understood what he said. In Matthew chapter 22, you have the story of the scribes and the Pharisees. They come together and they're trying to trap Jesus. And they're all the time trying to ask him these hard questions and difficult questions where they can put him in a box and trap him and say, oh, you're coming against the law of Moses. You know, they did that with a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, Moses says to stone her, what do you say? And they thought they had him in this box, because if Jesus said stoner, then all this stuff about grace and forgiveness would be out the window. But if Jesus said don't stoner, then they'd say, well, you're going up against Moses. You're contrary to Moses. And how can you be a prophet that we can trust if you're contrary to Moses? So they tried to put him in this box. And that's when Jesus said, let him who is the first among you who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And he would always defeat their questions. But in Matthew 22, they ask him this question, what is the greatest commandment? And that's when Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. And then it says that Jesus asked them a question. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, the Christ, whose son is he? And they said, that's your question? I mean, why don't you ask us how to spell cat? That's your question. Everybody knows that the Christ is the son of David. What kind of a basic first grade question is that? And then Jesus asks a follow-up question. He said, if the Christ is the son of David, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? And he quotes from Psalm 110, And he says, the Lord, David is saying this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. And Jesus said, if David calls him Lord, Adonai, how then is he his son? And no one dared to answer him a word. They didn't know what to say. He asked the easy question, and then he asked the deeper question, and they didn't know what the answer was. And it said from that day forward, no one dared ask him another question for fear of a rebuttal, that he would ask them a question and he'd put them to shame. Well, think about that. Why does David call him Lord, and how is he David's son, and yet David calls him Lord? The way he is David's son and David's Lord is that he is the God-man. He's the God-man. He's both his son, the son of man, and he is the son of God. When Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, that's not when he got his start. He is the eternal God. John, when he shares his gospel, he doesn't start in the baby in the manger. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He starts off in the beginning, just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God, in the beginning Jesus Christ. And so you have Jesus coming into the world, as the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, at the fullness of time, at the proper time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. But Jesus didn't start with the woman. He was in eternity with God, and God sent his son. And so you have Jesus Christ, the God-man. He is not like Hercules. Hercules was half God and half man put together. You know, in Greek mythology, you had these demigods, these half God, half man people. And you would have, if you've ever seen in Greek mythology, like a guy that's the body of the torso of a man and the legs and everything of a horse. They put them together. I think they call them centaurs. And so you have these things that are Greek mythology because they're half and half. Jesus is not half man and half God. That would make him some kind of monstrosity. Jesus is all God and all man all at the same time. He's as much God as though he were not man at all, yet he's as much man as though he were not God at all. And so when you read about him getting tired, when you read about him getting thirsty, how can that be? For he is God. Yes, but he's also man. When you read about him doing miracles, you say, well, how can that be? He's just a man. Yes, but he's also God. And God can do anything. So why is the virgin birth so important? It's important because of the veracity of Scripture. It's important, number two, for the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just like you and me. He is the God-man, and in order to be holy offspring, in order to be the Son of God, God had to be his Father. And reason number three, the virgin birth matters because of the mission of Jesus. Not only the nature of Jesus, the God-man, but the mission of Jesus. Now, the Scripture makes it clear, Jesus made it clear what his mission was. He didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The angels gave the announcement to the shepherds, unto you this day in the city of David, there has been born a Savior. Born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus came to save. He said in John chapter 3, I didn't come to condemn the world. He could have done that. That's not why he came. He came to save the world. His title is Savior and Lord. So he came to save. His mission is to save. Now watch this. If Jesus Christ is not virgin born, then he cannot save you or me or anybody. You say, why is that? Because then he would be a son of Adam. He would be in Adam. And the Bible makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Adam all die. So if he were the son of Adam from the seed of Adam, he would be tainted by the sin of Adam, and he would be brought forth in iniquity, and he would be a sinner, and a sinner can't be the sacrifice. The sinner can't be the Savior because it takes precious blood, unblemished and spotless, to purchase your salvation and my salvation. Scripture says in Psalm 49, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly. No man can do that. There has to be a God man. You know, Job talks about that. Job said, I can't argue my case before God. Oh, I wish there were a daysman, he calls it, a go-between, an umpire who could lay his hand upon us both. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is God and he is man, and he has come together and he can lay his hand upon us both, and he can take sinful man with this hand and holy God with this other hand and bring them together through the power and the blood of his cross. But if Jesus Christ is not born of a virgin, then the Bible's not true, and Jesus is not the God-man, and Jesus can't save, and you're gonna die, and I'm gonna die, and we're gonna go to hell forever and ever and ever. Does that sound like a spring on many of many springs on the trampoline? Uh-uh. That is key. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and it matters. And this book, which I preach, is true. And you can trust it. And when it tells you something, you may not be able to understand it all, but you can know this book is true. And I can base my life on this book. And Jesus Christ isn't just a good teacher. He is the God-man. He's not a good man. He's the God-man. And he is Savior. And he is Lord. And I can come to him. And he can make a difference because he has all power and all authority. And all of that is tied up in the one question: was Jesus Christ really born of a virgin? And the answer is yes.
Have you come to the God-man, Jesus Christ, and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? You can ask him into your heart today, right this very moment, with a simple, sincere prayer that echoes these thoughts. Say, Dear Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I also now realize that I'm a sinner. I come with a repentant heart and in faith, and I'm trusting now and forever in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just ask Christ to come into your heart, we rejoice in your decision, and we want to encourage you to make it public. If you don't have a church home, discover a Bible-believing church in your area and begin to serve the Lord with that church family. Be sure to go to our Why Jesus section on our website for free resources to help you in your new Christian journey. That web address again, fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. Well, what an incredible and comforting message today. The lesson was called, Was Jesus Really Born of a Virgin? And it was the first in four messages in the Christmas series, The Questions of Christmas. You can find out more about this series when you go online. And when you're there, we hope you'll consider a special year-end gift as we are planning big for 2024. This month is really critical for us as we have a large goal to help us close out the year to provide us the resources we need to confidently walk through some wide-open doors of broadcast opportunity. For your special year-end gift today, we'll say thank you by sending you the new 52-week daily devotional book co-authored by Dr. Jeff Shreve and others, and it's called Everyday Joy and Peace. To make your greatly needed year-end gift from his heart, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org, and you'll receive the Everyday Joy and Peace devotional book. Well, time is up for today, but we trust that you'll be able to be with us next time when Pastor Jeff tackles another question regarding Christmas. Be with us then for the lesson, Why Does Christmas Matter? Join us next time when we'll open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.